Purpose and Meaning. It's the last of our four-part series addressing things that keep people up at night, that cause anxiety, worry, and concern in their lives. It's certainly not been an exhaustive series in any way, but the things written on those little yellow slips of paper were important to those who wrote them. And Nathan and I have attempted to address them and thereby honor the authors. Those things that pertain to purpose and meaning are having or being enough for the future. What's next? It is said we all have spiritual gifts. Is this true? What if you believe you have nothing to offer anyone in this world? Will I be able to live a fulfilling life? Those were some of the questions on those little slips of paper. And as I pondered these questions, I was really quite humbled and overwhelmed with the responsibility that I've been given to address them. It's a privilege to be trusted with such deeply personal questions. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that not only have I been asked by individuals, the questions have been asked by individuals, but we should probably be asking them in the context of the church as a whole. And so today I'll talk about the individual side of these questions and finally extend them out to the church as a whole. Last Sunday, we had a men's a cappella group called Without Apology. The first song they sang was Say Something. It moved me greatly because every time I hear it, I envision a person crying out to God to speak to her or him. It is a deep, heart-wrenching cry to hear God affirm his or her worth and that God really exists and loves this person. Haven't we all had times when we could not hear or feel God in our lives? Oh, amen? Yeah, okay. Haven't we all had times when we thought God wasn't available? Last week, I told you about my failed relationship with God. Those of you who may not have been here then, you can ask me later about it, but at that time, I didn't hear or feel God in my life for 5 years, and those 5 years were the most difficult years of my life. I was just like that person crying out in the song, crying out for God to talk to me, to affirm God's presence, and love. But God wasn't talking, or maybe I wasn't listening. And I gave up on God. Now, whether God wasn't talking or I wasn't listening doesn't really matter because God was not in my life for 5 years. Although God was there, I just didn't acknowledge it. I felt like I was back in that dark time again before I found God in the first place. Those of you who wrote that you didn't think you had anything to offer anyone in this world, I want you to know that you do. God knows that you do. And I know that because God nudged me towards Al-Anon, a 12-step program, and I found God there. I found God again, once more in that 12-step program. I felt finally worthy of God's love, worthy of God's presence in my life. And God gave me a purpose, a calling, if you will, which I will talk about a little later. In the readings from 1 Corinthians today, it says every individual is a worthy part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, amen? The scripture reassures us that no matter what part we are absolutely necessary to complete the whole body. What this tells us is that each of us is important. We each have a part to play, and each one has a purpose in this body. My belief is that it's crucial that we become aware and acknowledge our purpose as part of this body. Each part is honored, and each part has a job to do. So if we're wondering what we can do, we could ask ourselves some questions to help us figure that out. Like, what does God want from me? What crucial part do I play in the body? What can I do as an individual to contribute to others, the church, my community, and the world? Each one of us has been given a gift, one or more gifts, actually, of the Spirit, to be used as a member of the body of Christ. Earlier in the chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it says that there are different kinds of gifts, and they're all given by the same Spirit. These are gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, and more. And each of these gifts have been given by the Spirit as the Spirit determines, which means that each of us has different gifts because the Spirit determined we needed that gift. If you think you don't have anything to offer anyone, the Spirit makes it really clear that you do. And if you need help figuring that out, go to God. And if for some reason you can't hear God's words, there's people here that can help you discern what your gifts might be. I'm sure that Nathan and I would be willing to help anyone who can't figure that out, because you do have a gift. You do have a part in this body of Christ. If you don't feel worthy of being a disciple of Christ, don't worry, because each of us has been called to do something regardless of how we feel about ourselves. God sees us as totally worthy, and the Spirit calls us to use our gifts. A case in point. In the early 90s, I began attending MCC of the Gentle Shepherd in Vancouver, Washington. Somewhere around 1994, I and my partner had attended a very cold, rainy Easter sunrise service out by the Columbia River. Afterward, we all went to a restaurant to have breakfast because our service was in the afternoon. It wasn't time to go to service yet, like it is here. I was sitting at the table, minding my own business, when I heard an audible voice calling me to the ministry. Of course, I looked around, expecting someone close by to have said those words, but there was no one except the friends sitting at my table, and they didn't say that. I figured that I had frozen my brain outside in that sunrise service, and that as it was thawing, it was doing strange things. So I just sort of laughed it off and went on with my meal. A few minutes later, I heard that voice again. And again, I looked around. There wasn't anybody around who'd said them. And so I thought, I must be going crazy. What? What'd you say? Oh, helper God. Anyway, I really laughed it off this time because I didn't have anything to offer. I didn't know anything really about God except what I had heard in church. I didn't have any particular skills. I didn't know anything about the Bible. What could I offer God and God's people? Couldn't figure out why God would be calling me. So I determined to forget it and was successful for a very short while. But those words kept coming back to me. They invaded my awake time. They invaded my sleep time. They invaded every thought that came through my mind. And I still couldn't figure it out. Why would I be called to the ministry? Well, I decided to talk to a few people about it. And their advice was, get this, listen to what God is calling you to. Oh boy. So eventually I said yes to God. And the rest is history. But the thing that I want to make really clear is that I didn't believe I had anything to offer anyone. And I kept asking, why me, God? And the words I heard back were, why not you? Amen. I didn't have an answer for that one. And God was faithful in my calling and provided me with time off from my 40-hour-a-week job and money for classes and books as I studied to become a member of a minister of MCC. Every time I thought I couldn't take another class because I had no money to pay for it or the books, someone would give me money. It was a time when my faith was deepened and strengthened because I had to rely totally on God to provide what I needed to honor my calling. After I began the schooling process and saw God's faithfulness, I knew that I had something to offer. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it would come. So to those who think you have nothing to offer, I again say, you do. Jesus said, ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. We have sound effects even. This is good. These aren't just idle words. These are words that we can trust. We can put our trust in them because Jesus never lets us down. Jesus makes sure we understand that we are to follow him. He tells us to pick up our cross and follow him. He told the men in the fishing boats to lay down their nets and follow him. He's told many people to leave whatever it is that they were doing, leave mother and father, leave your homes, and come follow me. We aren't told to stay home and do nothing. We're told to follow Jesus and to do his work in this world. If we don't know what we should be doing, then all we need to do is really look at the ministries of Jesus. These ministries include the ministry of worship, healing, education, evangelism, compassion and inclusion, peace and justice making, stewardship and generosity, the caring for shared possessions, and forgiveness and reconciliation. There's that word again, forgiveness. If we want a fulfilling life, if you want to find out what gifts you have, if you want to be a crucial part of this body, then I think, in my personal opinion, we really need to be about the work that Jesus asks us to continue. Parker Palmer says in the second reading today that our deepest calling is to grow into our own authentic selfhood, whether or not it conforms to some image of who we ought to be. As we do so, we will not only find the joy that every human being seeks, we will also find our own path of authentic service in the world. And he quotes Frederick Buechner as saying, "We will have deep joy in knowing we are put on this earth to be the gifts God created." He believed that true vocation, which is what we are called to do, is the place where your true gladness meets the world's deep need. To serve others as Jesus did brings true joy and meaning to one's life. Now, Palmer goes on to say, he wasn't in the reading today, but he goes on to say that most of us arrive at a sense of self and vocation only after a long journey through alien lands. So for those who have not arrived yet at their calling, give it time or try out different ministries you may be interested in. You will arrive eventually. When you find the one or ones that bring out the gifts you have been given, then you will know the true joy. It will be joy beyond your imagination. Don't give up on God or yourself, because God doesn't give up on you. So what purpose is God calling us to do? What kind of church does God want us to be that will bring value and meaning to its members and to others? I believe the purpose and meaning for MCC Portland is getting back to the basics of the Jesus Church and creating jobs for Jesus. And yes, I am coining that term, jobs for Jesus. I may not be the first, but I am the first here probably, so there you go. The ministries this church must embrace are the ones that Jesus began. And this is the larger picture, the church being all of us, not this building. We seek to serve a personal God, and each of us is a vital part of the purpose MCCP is being called to. We must be able to do the work of Jesus, and being in this building does not allow us to do it all inclusively. There simply is not enough room. We can have maybe two or three groups going at a time, but then we shuffle rooms all the time because there aren't that many rooms. So it's good that we're talking about doing something different today. A little bit ago, I laid out the ministries of Jesus. The ministry of worship involves focusing on Christ as the leader of our church. Christ is the reason we come to church and the one we follow as his disciples. As a matter of fact, the word Christian means followers of Christ. The ministry of healing includes caring for those who are ill or dying, holding healing services, and praying for the healing of all. The ministry of education is teaching and promoting the good news of Jesus Christ through education programs for adults and children. The ministry of evangelism includes the telling of God's story and our church's story through media, mailings, our website, and other creative ways to reach out to unchurched people, and learning to share Jesus Christ through conversation with others. The ministry of compassion and reconciliation is caring for the hungry, homeless, those without clothing, those who are suffering from loss, addiction, divorce, mental illness, and the imprisoned. This means reaching out to those who have been pushed aside by the mainstream culture. The poor, people of color, LGBTQ, and we may know a little bit about that one, and finding ways to include them in our church, and reaching out to those who have been incarcerated, and those who have been missing in worship. The ministry of peace and justice making seems quite obvious. It's working for inner peace, that's inner peace, local, national, and international peace, using the prophetic voice to confront those in power who do not establish the ways of God's peaceable dominion in the world, working to bring about just systems that help the disenfranchised and the poor, seeking to stop war and the expenditure of funds on the war that could be used to help the poor, the hungry, and the homeless. The ministry of stewardship and generosity includes encouraging and receiving gifts to the ministries of the church through tithes and gifts, fundraising, budgeting. Mr. Treasurer back there, he's way in the back. Encouraging the giving of one's whole self to God and encouraging people to use their gifts in the church's ministries. The ministry of caring for shared possessions is the care and well-being of the needs of our shared property, such as the church and all of the technological and other kinds of things that are part of this church. Last but not least is the ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation. This ministry utilizes the method of reconciliation in Matthew 18:15-20. And if you want to know what that is, you have got to get your Bible out and read it. Matthew 18:15-20. This ministry helps the pastor, staff, members, and friends of the church to hear one another, forgive one another, and work cooperatively. It can also include helping others to work out differences and ministering to people in the world who need forgiveness and reconciliation. These are 9 jobs for Jesus, and they follow Christ's ministry. Each of us in this room and those who aren't here will play a part in one or more of these jobs, because each of us is uniquely qualified to do the work of Jesus Christ. Call it a vocation, as Parker Palmer did, or call it your job for Jesus. We as individuals who make up the collective church body have been called by God to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus in this world. There are many parts and one body. Promoting these jobs for Jesus will be a living testimony to the power of God's unconditional love and grace. We each have a purpose in our life, in our community, in our church, and in the eyes of God. Be still and listen for God's calling. And never, ever give up on God, because God does not ever give up on us. Amen.